You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 with Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. A superb Wednesday to look forward to as well, with day one of the Ebor meeting at York. It's Carlisle and Foslas alongside that in the afternoon, Kempton and Worcester in the evening, and there's a good card over in Ireland as well from Killarney on Wednesday night. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Luke Elder. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the podcast, but it's not a bad day to come back onto it, is it?
It's not at all.
It's a fantastic day of racing tomorrow, and possibly one of the best of the season.
Yes, the Judmont International. We'll move on to it in more detail, but to come back and preview that race, I imagine. Well, yes.
I'd say in at the deep end, but it's the kind of thing you want to preview, isn't it?
Rather than
Ripon, or no offense to Ripon, of course, but a seller over a Ripon. But no, it's fantastic racing tomorrow. Really looking forward to it.
Fantastic day tomorrow. Fantastic day. Well, fantastic many days throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah, fantastic week. In particular, for the later in the week, I'm really looking forward to the Yorkshire Oaks. We've got the rematch between Kirby and Covert Love, obviously, from the Irish Oaks. I think Jack Naylor may be in it as well. I haven't checked the declarations yet, but that looks to be a very, very good race. I'll have that between Covert Love and Kirby myself, maybe the latter just coming out on top.
Yeah, you've got that form as well. You've got Plishock in there as well. Another element. I mean, she was disappointing last time, but she bounced back.
Well, on the Ribblesdale form, she's not that far away from Kirby. Yeah. So, it's another fantastic race. Last year, obviously, Tegruder was turned over in it by Tapestry. So, it's a wide-open race this year.
Mm. Yeah, that's the first 2 days, if you like. We've got plenty. We've got the Nunthorpe later on in the week and the Ebor itself. Any other highlights you're particularly looking forward to?
I've been looking forward to seeing Acapulco, which is a boring one, I know, for the Nunthorpe later in the week. But now we've got the added incentive of how will Ira Ortiz Jr. be perceived when he comes over here after the Beverly D. Hopefully it won't be too bad at all. But Acapulco looks to be a potential superstar, especially getting all that weight from the older horses, as she should hopefully be good enough with the weight allowances. But then we've got the Ebor on Saturday. Again, it's just a fantastic week of racing, something for everyone.
Yeah. Are you getting to York this week?
I'm working here tomorrow on the TV service, but I'm hoping to get down there on Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
All right.
I've looked at the weather forecast as well, and I'm maybe taking a coat for the Thursday.
Yeah. It's pretty dreary out there as well today as we record this. Hopefully the weather will stay fair enough for Wednesday, because we don't want to be robbed of
We don't want too much rain for Glen Eagles, but that could be a bit of a dampener on the week.
Mm. Yeah, so a great week to look forward to. What we're going to do is we're going to get stuck into the first day. Luke's got the first four races on the Wednesday picked out for us. He's found the winners for us as well, he tells me. So we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The Ebor Festival kicks off in the 1:55, which is the Symphony Group Handicap. It's a Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and a nice big field as well. 20 of them in the lineup here. I'll just spin through the betting to start with. Huntsman's Close and Dutch Masterpiece are the 9-2 joint favourites. 10-1 for Highland Acclaim. Secret in the Park is 11-1. 12s for Desert Law. Shore Step 12-1 as well. Bit of a nibble on Bogart, who's 14s into 12s, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Just the 20 runners to sort out here, Luke. A nice easy start to the festival.
Yes, perfectly straightforward, isn't it? It's a very good race, this. We've got the likes of Huntsman's Close, who was a good sixth in the Stewards' Cup last time, dropping down in trip. Well, I say dropping down only half a furlong, but also you remember probably Huntsman's Close was the horse before the Wokingham that dropped his ride. I think it was William Buick that day before the start. So it'll be interesting to see Huntsman's Close down at the start and how he's taken the preliminaries with a huge crowd assured tomorrow at York. But Dutch Masterpiece is the one that I thought was going to take all the beating here. Returned to somewhere near his better form from when he was younger. He had a bit of an injury last year and was off for most of it. He only had one run where he came tailed off last behind Lucky Beggar. at Newbury, missed the rest of the year, came back at Nottingham at the start of this season in April and ran well enough, was beaten just over five lengths by Spinatrix, which isn't the worst form in the world, but that was just something to ease himself back in to racing. It was very disappointing at Chester the time after this, didn't really handle the track for all that he is a previous winner there, but he showed a glimpse of a revival at Newmarket two outings ago. That's when they chucked the visor on him first time. He was only beaten a length by Justinio. It was a good bit of form that day, and then he continued that improvement back into handicap company behind Secret in the Park last time on Shergar Cup Day at Ascot. Pat Smullen keeps the ride, and he potentially should have won at Ascot. He travelled into the race very nicely. Pat Smullen, he began to hang to his right, and Pat Smullen couldn't pull his whip through. He never actually got to use the stick whatsoever. He's gone up £3 for that effort, but we have had a little bit of rain around. Any rain that falls will be a huge positive for Dutch Masterpiece, and he'd be my idea of the winner in the opener. One at a bigger price, I'd give a Midlander another chance. I don't think he should have really ran in the 6 furlong race on Shergar Cup Day. He's more of a 5 furlong horse, and he'll be one of the pace angles.
All right, fair enough. But the selection is Dutch Masterpiece for
Dutch Masterpiece for Gary Moore and Pat Smullen once again.
All right, just want to mention the Kevin Ryan runners here as well. He's obviously got Bogart as a previous winner of the race. He's got Distant Past in there as well, and purely because it's a race he's won the last 2 years. So he obviously targets it at a local track, and
hugely, he'll probably have a few horses targeted at specific races throughout the course of the week. Bogart will probably be the one that I'd side with. He maybe doesn't stay 6 furlongs as well as he acts over 5. I think this trip of almost 5.5 furlongs could be absolutely perfect for him. You mentioned he's a past winner of this race. Neil Callan gets back on board. He rode him last time, went 8th to Tanzeel. That form's looking pretty good now behind Tanzeel, who looks to be potentially a group performer in the future. Dropping down 0.5 furlong in trip, I think Bogart would be the one of his pair to take, but distant past has got some decent form last time out, only beaten 3/4 of a length by Midlander at Ascot. That was on softer ground as well, so you would assume, albeit is a winner on good to firm, any rain that falls wouldn't be an inconvenience.
Okay, let's move on to the second race at York on Wednesday then, the 2:30, and this one is the Acomb Stakes, which is a group 3 over 7 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds, a field of 10 here, and the market headed by Recorder, who is 4-1, 9-2 for Lieutenant General and Mohab, 5-1 for Adventurous, 7-1 for Simric, and 10s or bigger for the others. Who do you like in there?
It's a competitive race, isn't it? I imagine this would be a race where the protagonists are probably going to be better in the future, with the likes of, even at bigger prices, the likes of Dream Mover when they step up in trip. But Recorder is a boring selection because he is near the head of the market, but Recorder is a full brother to Memory. Probably should have got off the mark first time out at Newbury behind Zebediah. Was third on that occasion. Was just given a more educational ride. I should have said brother to a full brother to Memory at the start, but was third behind Zebediah, given an educational ride, and then sent to Newmarket, where he won a lot easier than the winning distance of a neck would suggest. He was ridden by Harry Bentley on that occasion, and he looked to have really progressed from that first run. Now, you remember Memory was a Highclere horse who, she developed a few quirks as she got older. However, those didn't really kick in until she was in her 3-year-old season. Recorder hasn't shown any tendencies of those so far. She has been a little bit green in her first 2 starts, but we can completely forgive her for that. Frankie Dettori takes the ride, and William Haggis, who's in fantastic form after taking in the Hungerford last weekend with a day. I'd imagine Recorder will step up once again at more of a price. I'd give a chance to the superbly named Bing Bang Bong for the David Barron yard, who ran well enough at Pontefract on debut, but really took a big step forward on softer ground at Newmarket last time. Travelled really well and quickened even better. Maybe the form slightly being let down by a couple, but at bigger prices, maybe even double figure prices on the day, Bing Bang Bong would be one that I'd definitely be worth siding with each way.
Bing Bang Bong each way then for Luke in that one. Moving on to the third race of the afternoon on the Wednesday, which is the 3 or 5, and this is the Great Voltager Stakes, which is a group 2 over 1.5 miles. This one's for the 3-year-olds, the market headed by Storm the Stars, who's 3-1, 4-1 for Belios and Bondi Beach. Tashar is 9-2, 7-1 for Giovanni Canaletto, Aloft is 8s and 14s for Medrano. We'll start with Storm the Stars purely because he's been a bit of a bridesmaid so far, hasn't he? Placed in a couple of derbies. A little bit disappointing in France last time, but is he going to get his head in front of one of these?
Well, you say he's been a bridesmaid, but he's won about £400,000 in prize money this year, so it would be fantastic to have a horse that's a bridesmaid like that in your yard. But I thought he might have taken in a bit of a longer break this season, because the ultimate target does seem to be the St. Ledger at the end of the year at Doncaster. But he was a bit disappointing, you have to say, last time at Longchamp. Before that was a good second to Jack Hobbs, so brings into best form from the Irish Derby. He was also a good third in the Epsom Derby as well. Whether he's going to run to that, that's another thing, because he may end up forcing the pace here along potentially with the likes of Aloft, who seems to be the third choice for Aidan O'Brien, but was a winner of the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot, so he's got stamina to burn in that department. But I wouldn't be backing Storm the Stars tomorrow. From a racing fan's point of view, I'd hope he would win. From a selection point of view, I'd maybe take a chance with the unexposed Tasha. It doesn't look the strongest of races for the Great Voltager, with taking into account postponed won it last year, Telescope the year before that. But Tasha at one of the more bigger prices won a really good Goodwood, well, handicap at Glorious Goodwood last time out, beating a horse called Rhythmical, who was just touched off at Newmarket last weekend. Back in third was a horse called Shell Bay, who won at the Shergar Cup the time after. So that form's taken a few positives to come out of it since. But stepping up into admittedly much, much higher company, into Group 2 now, Tasha looks like he may just be the sort to make that a successful rise in class. And a bit of a bigger price, I'd side with the unexposed angle of Tasha over the likes of Storm the Stars and Balios.
Okay, Tasha to take the step up to Group 2 company in his stride then, and moving on to the big race of the afternoon, the big race of the meeting arguably, and that's the Judmont International Stakes, the Group 1 contest over a mile and a quarter, the next instalment in the British Champions Series. The market headed by Golden Horn, who's 8-13, 7-2 for Glen Eagles, 5-1 for Time Test, the Grey Gatsby's 10s, 33-1 for Criterion, and 50s or bigger for a real shock in one of the other runners. It's all about Golden Horn against Glen Eagles. It's the first time the Derby winners met the Guineas winner in the International since 1992. There's all that comes into it. It's rated the highest, officially the best race in the world, and we've got one of the best clashes we'll see for a long time here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might have been underselling it, saying best race of the week. It might be the best race of the season that we're going to see. It's the best race in a long time as a race perspective. Obviously we had the likes of Frankel in this race that's come here before and won this, but as terms of a race, we've got the Derby winner and Dante winner taking on a dual Guineas winner in Glen Eagles, who I was a bit disappointed he didn't turn up at Glorious Goodwood. I have to say, the rain will have to stop for him to run. If we get robbed of this, it'll be absolutely awful spectacle for the whole of the season, to be honest. We've already lost a few good races to the weather so far this season. I just pray that it isn't going to be another one. But Golden Horn looks absolutely spectacular. The way that he beat the Grey Gatsby in the Eclipse was just absolutely superb. He battled on from a long way out, and they were racing a really long way from home. I'm almost glad he didn't go for the King George. It was softer ground, but whether he would have got away with running in that and then coming here as well, it may have just been a bit too much to ask for him. He is only a three-year-old. He's taken a lot of racing from the start of the season for when he won the Fielding Stakes at Newmarket. This is his fifth run already, but he does look a spectacular horse. Saying that, he's now got Glen Eagles to take on. He's going to step up in trip. Whether he sees out a mile and two and an extra 88 yards, which could become crucial to Glen Eagles, who's going into uncharted territories here, that may just be something that works in Golden Horn's favour. We know how the race is going to pan out, because Dick Doughty Wiley is probably going to go off in front. Arabian Queen won't want to be too far from the pace either. They're going to try and make it into a more stamina test from the John Gosden side of things for Golden Horn. Glen Eagles will likely be sitting in Golden Horn's slipstream, I should say, and try and pick him up late on. Whether that will really work out and go to plan for Joseph O'Brien remains to be seen. I think over this trip, I think Golden Horn, for all that he is odds on at the moment, I'd say Golden Horn be the one to side with. However, I don't think you really need to have a bet in this race to enjoy it. It's an absolutely fantastic race. We've got Time Test chucked in as well. He was a brilliant winner at Royal Ascot. This is a spectacular race and one to enjoy for a racing fan.
Certainly is. And I'm inclined to agree with you. I just think a mile and a quarter is the key point here, isn't it? Golden Horn is his optimum trip. He's got a pacemaker in there to make it a real test, a proper test. And for me, Glen Eagles has always just looked like an out-and-out miler. I know he only seems to do enough to win, and there might be a little bit more in the locker there. He's by Galileo as well, which would suggest he'll get further, but I just think his stamina will get found out.
Yeah, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, I'd have thought, I said Glen Eagles would want a bit further, and I even said that I'd struggle to see him winning a Guineas, which I was horrifically wrong about. But
he's won two of them.
Yeah, he's doubly proved me wrong on that side. But for all that he was only beating Lethanic and Consort, who were useful yardsticks in their own right, I was really, really impressed with his turn of foot at Ascot. And now, whether he can implement that over a mile two, that is a completely different question. But he does seem to be a horse that is improving. Whether he's going to be as good over this mile too, and 88 yards, which is a really crucial thing to throw onto the end of it, I'm not 100% sure, especially at York as well, which will be a more stamina-demanding track. They're going to be racing about 4 furlongs from home here. That will play into Golden Horn's hands. If they were racing at somewhere with a shorter straight, i.e. Ascot, plucking a track out of the air, then that may benefit Gleneagles more. But for now, for York, I would side with Golden Horn.
Yeah, I do know that AP McCoy disagrees with us both.
I did see that, actually. Yeah. I was in the other day when he was talking about that, so... I'm not sure what to make of that, to be honest.
Yeah, anybody who wants to watch his previews, go to williamhill.com. You'll find them on the horse racing pages on the right hand side, and you can hear his argument for Gleneagles.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never thought I'd be up against or up tipping against AP McCoy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what way to take that, to be honest. But...
Well, if his tipping's half as good as his riding, we're in trouble. But
yeah, put it up beside my tipping anyway. But I would side with Golden Horn. But it's a wonderful spectacle for the York crowd. It's a wonderful spectacle for horse racing to have a Derby winner taking on a dual Guineas winner, and it's something really to relish in what's been a slow season so far.
It is. It's something, don't miss it on Wednesday, whatever you do. Let's have a quick summary, Luke, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
It was a Dutch Masterpiece in the opener in the 5 furlong race. I think any rain will come perfect for Dutch Masterpiece. The ground will be absolutely fine. He's a very well handicapped horse as well. In the Acom, I'd side with Recorder to win it, but I wouldn't rule out Bing Bang Bong at more of a price in the, was it Great Voltage next, isn't it? I would side with Tasha, who won a handicap at Glorious Goodwood, will be stepping up in class markedly, but looks the unexposed horse in the race, in what may be a race that lacks a bit of depth. And in the International, I think Golden Horn's going to take a lot of beating for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori, but what a race it is.
What a race indeed. Thank you very much, Luke. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Yeah, you too.
So there you go, the thoughts of Luke Elder on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and James Millman will be the team in the studio. We've got this spectacular day at York to come. We've also got Carlisle and Foss last in the afternoon, Kempton and Worcester in the evening, and a decent enough card over in Ireland from Killarney as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in to Racing Radio for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.